This is John Costa from Citizen's Eye, and we're here at our Community News Cafe on Tuesday the 19th of February. A few people here this morning, and we've got Rosie filming from UK, UN UK TV, which is quite interesting sight. Interesting talk to her. And I'm here with Mark Clark from Inside and Out magazine. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. So, Mark, how long has it been there? How long have you been the editor of INOMAG?
It's coming up to 5 years. It's just over 4.5 years.
And so how's the whole experience been for you? I mean, I don't expect a blow-by-blow journey, but, you know, you're in a good place at the moment with running INOMAG?
Yes, I think it seems to be going in the right direction now. Got a lot of interest. My new graphic designer's come up with some new ideas for guides, specialist guides around different subjects. Should be sponsored, and there is some interest there already, so hopefully money's starting to come into Inside and Out now, so at last.
So how many times between the first time we met and now have you thought about jacking it in?
Sorry,
been thought about jacking it in, giving up?
Oh, it's probably been quite a few times I've actually thought about sort of moving on and sort of doing something else different, but I was just stuck to my guns sort of thing, and now it seems to be paying off, not only with the magazine, but then also with the other topics as well, you know, enterprise coaching seems to be going well as well. Got 2 meetings this week about that as well.
Okay, on the training side and things like that, is there a lot of interest in ex-offenders being the people that come back in and give that sort of, you know, training or advice and guidance?
Yeah, there seems to be, you know, Chris Grayling, the Justice Minister, has said basically that he wants to see more and more ex-offenders actually mentoring people that are just coming out as they come out of prison. And there seems to be more and more interest now, especially within the private sector, to actually get ex-offenders into the prisons, into probation trusts, and out in the community as well.
Now, you were talking to me, I mean, at some point last year, I think you went up to Darlington Prison, isn't it? Which is a private prison?
Doncaster, sorry.
Private prison. And you were saying there, like, you know, they've got like a media suite and stuff like that. Do you think that it's going to be the private sector running prisons that are going to be the first to adopt the use of ex-offenders and to do these kind of things, like Chris Grayling was saying, before your prison service does?
Definitely. There's a lot of evidence there already, because the private sector's been running probably for about the last, 10 years or so. And they're taking over more and more prisons as the tender comes up, sort of thing. You know, the noms are selling off more and more of the prisons to the public sector, private sector. And from my experience, definitely private prisons are more open to allow ex-offenders to come into the prison and do activities, or even allow anybody to go into the prison, because public sector seem to be quite closed to organisations.
Yeah.
And sort of seem to be quite mistrusting.
Yeah. There's still this things like, you know, the public wants offenders punished, okay, and they send them to prison, and we've both experienced it, you know, so we kind of know what prison's like, and sort of, you know, education and access to courses and things like that. Do you think it's the private sector is more open to it because of the evidence that it's useful and it works and it has positive outputs and stuff like that and outcomes for them, or the fact that it's just easier for them to do that because it's a market to buy services in?
I think it's actually a bit of both, but having said that, see, the private sector's obviously, they're an organisation, they're a business in their own entity, so therefore they're more open to actually allowing other social enterprises. A lot of private prisons have got their own social enterprises within the prison as well as outside in the community. The same as probation trusts as well. That's, you know, you've got the probation trust, so they're publicly owned, and that they're more and more of those are coming up with social enterprises as well, so I don't know.
Do you think it still comes down to a lot that the way the mainstream media portrays prison and what prison life is like inside, that a lot of people's opinions about it, about, you know, like offenders inside, you know, regimes and all that kind of stuff, is still not based on fact?
Yeah, it's so true. Basically, before finding myself the wrong side of the criminal justice system, my beliefs were that prisoners and ex-offenders were people not to be mixed with. And that's still the case a lot these days. Although it seems to be changing because you get more and more TV programmes talking about the prison, you know, actually showing shows like the one last night about Elstone, HMYY Elstone. The trouble is with those, they're a bit biased against the drama and everything else. You know, like the governor said at the end of that programme that, you know, 90% of the prisoners were okay. You know, they're well behaved, well, reasonably well behaved and everything else. And then you get 10% that makes all the trouble, but there you go. They were showing all the trouble, but.
But that's society, though. I mean, society is like that, isn't it? I mean, you know, you or I could go out in town for a night out on a Friday night with absolutely no intention of causing trouble, and we've had a really good time, and not even see trouble, but it's the trouble that would get reported in the mainstream media.
That's so true. And that's what Inside and Out magazine is all about, basically. I was sitting in my prison cell, fed up with hearing all the negative news that's happening in the criminal justice system. About offenders, you know, how they're demonised and everything else. And generally, the vast majority of offenders, ex-offenders, are just mixed up people in one form or another. And they're quite reasonable people and they deserve a second chance. And I'm basically trying to express the positive things that are happening in the criminal justice system, both to offenders, ex-offenders, their families, but also to Joe Public as well.
Yeah. Now, we look to America for a lot of our regimes and how we run things, and there's, you know, this kind of talk still bubbling around of super titans and all these kind of stuff. I mean, now there was a really interesting program on a couple of weeks ago with Trevor McDonald where we went and spoke over two nights to people on death row in America, and I remember being struck by a guy who, when he was 13, you know, to get money for the fare, he'd killed some people, and that's fair enough, you know, and he'd got life, and he'd been in prison 25 years already, and quite clearly what he did at 13 and the man that he was now was very different. Do you think that kind of, you know, young people committing crimes like that, even if it's murder, leaving them in there for like an indefinite period, is wasting maybe a possible opportunity they have of actually doing something constructive for society? Not that you'd ever put that right, but actually, whereas at the moment they're just costing society money to keep them.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, it's so easy, you know, that, you know, a 13-year-old, and I don't know the case or anything like that, but, you know, his family life, but he probably didn't understand what was the rights and wrongs at that time, at the age of 13. You know, a lot of 13-year-olds don't understand that. And a lot of 13-year-olds don't have the, you know, he may or may not, I don't know, had good, positive peers, a positive family around him, and just because he made that mistake at that time, you know, at the age of 13, 25 years later, he's still in prison and actually facing a death sentence. It's just so easy, and, you know, moving it to, you know, from America to here, it's just so simple. You can go out any Saturday, or Friday or Saturday night, or any night of the week, go out, have a nice time and everything else, going out just to have a good laugh. You end up getting drunk or involved in a fight, end up getting, you know, hitting somebody, they get hit the floor, head injury, dead. That's a life sentence.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect the rest of your life.
Yeah. Do you think we have still not been brave enough in this country to have the real debate that's needed around the criminal justice system and, you know, the impacts around things like nature and nurture and the impact of things like poverty and, you know, job opportunities and that still having a lot of our built-up urban areas?
Basically, there's not enough talk and not enough holistic thinking. You know, when I did my training, you know, nurse training a long time ago, we were taught the holistic approach, thinking that one thing affects another, you know, so housing, employment, families, this all affects one another, you know. And, so money needs to be ploughed into all of these areas. And personally, I don't think prison is necessarily the answer. And I feel that seems to be going in a good direction, but we'll wait and see what actually happens there. But a debate needs to happen, and it needs to happen soon.
Do you think having literature that's produced by offenders inside and ex-offenders on the outside being able to come together in a publication has a real impact on people? Because at the moment, I remember working in the library, you know what I mean? Like, people ordered magazines and newspapers and stuff. But, you know, we've had this really positive project supported by Somewhere Too locally and Citizen's Eye and Down Not Out magazine and stuff, where we've produced this calendar of content produced by people from, you know, Welford Road and YOI at Glenparva, and the positive impact that has been seen to produce something that's of value and stuff. Sometimes that's the only time someone's ever been told that they've got any value or a good person.
Yeah, that is true. You know, it's going to boost, you know, things like that. It's going to boost self-esteem. It's going to boost team building skills, interpersonal skills, and all sorts of things. You know, so you know, projects like that can only be good. And in my view, basically, I think it should happen more and more. And within Inside and Out, basically, it's only been a positive thing.
Right, final question. What do you think of the proposals around sort of outsourcing, looking after offenders when they come out and stuff, you know what I mean? You know, talking about getting more private companies and stuff like that. Do you think charities and local charities and organisations will miss out on that because they don't have the necessary financial stability that people would automatically think Group 4 or Serco would have, and it's just easier to give them the contract?
Basically, I think that with it being payment by results, there's small organisations such as myself and other charities as well, social enterprises, are not going to be able to afford to actually take on that work. G4S is going to take it, and so people like G4S, A4E, Circa, all the big guys are going to do it, and then they're going to possibly take the money, and then their staff will be voluntary, you know. Basically, in order for it to work, Chris Grayling has said that he wants ex-offenders to actually be mentoring offenders, basically, or ex-offenders as they come out of prison. Well, it needs to be paid. Paid employment. There's nothing more that stops reoffending more than actually paid employment.
But surely that's the key, isn't it? It's work, isn't it?
So basically, paid work is the key. You know, okay, voluntary work is good, but in order to actually sustain themselves, they're going to have money from somewhere. So basically, it should be paid work and not just the big boys taking all the money for themselves.
Well, also, if we're in a situation where we have people like who are graduates, like in the paper recently, volunteering at a museum and being pulled out and made to stack shelves for free in a supermarket, you know, and she's a law-abiding member of society who's just got a degree, what chance does an ex-offender stand?
Very poor. It's difficult for everybody out there at the moment, but, ex-offenders, if you've got a criminal record, it just makes it just like a little bit more difficult. Because obviously employers are going to go with people that have actually not got that criminal record, and they can pick and choose nowadays. So, basically, that's all I can see really, is basically they should be actually thinking about the long-term benefits and everything else, you know, the longer-term benefits by actually employing these ex-offenders are actually going to stop their offending, and then it's sort of good for their community, you know, their social community, social responsibility, and everything else, CSR.
Nice one, Mark. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.